A new dimension in tag team competition in professional wrestling today. Their spokesman is Mr. Michael Hayes.
That's right. Don't you ever forget Fabulous Freebirds. Ladies and gentlemen, you have seen all kind of great tag teams come through your area. And you have always seen two men compromise the tag team. But before your eyes, you do see three.
And Gordon, all three of you?
That's right, all three of us. That means you never know. You can never plan your strategy down the tee because there's three of us. It may be Buddy and I wrestling. It may be Terry and I. It may be Terry and Buddy. You never know. So you've always got to be on your toes because you understand we are the hot childs of the city. They do run wild and I do look pretty, baby. Get a close-up on that face, Gordon.
I wonder if you'd mind introducing these men.
One at a time. Behind me, my big brother, the main man, the stud, 270 pounds of romping, stomping, walking, talking, graveyard destruction. He is the true, the only, the original master of disaster. He is not a drugstore cowboy. He is not an urban cowboy. He is a space cowboy. And beside him, one of our partners and our main man, the man that came in when we needed a helping hand. He's 230 pounds of sizzling stuff, and baby, he don't stop till he gets enough. This is our partner, Buddy. And last but not least, where women would like to feast, me. 240 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal so doggone bad you think I'm unreal. And let me tell you something, I got prettier hair than Farrah Fawcett, more moves than John Travolta. I'm sexier than Marilyn Monroe ever thought she could be. And all this may sound pretty and it may sound sweet, but it goes from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And the main thing you got to keep in your mind is this, that we are the greatest, the newest, the youngest, and the latest. And we are coming down to Georgia. And when we come to your city, we will get down with our nitty-gritty. We've broken attendance records everywhere. We draw more than Bob Seger's ever thought about. Hart, the Commodores, more people seen us. We broke the New Orleans Superdome attendance record, baby. So I want to say this closing remark, Gordon Solie. Everybody out there, you do whatever you want to say and do whatever you feel you must. But when the result ends up, another one bites the dust.
The Fabulous Freebirds.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It's me, Big Time Matt O, with me as always. You get to be Gary Royal to my... No, you get to be George South to my Gary Royal, because we're the Cruel Connection.
Love George South. I was going to say, who the fuck's Gary Royal?
You can be George South. I know you like him.
Oh, hoy, hoy.
You're
everybody.
Nate Adams. You love
fellow
George South.
Fellow George South fans. Greatest journeyman wrestler in Southern wrestling history.
That's your guy.
Balmy 90 degrees here in Chicagoland on a Memorial Day weekend.
Good God.
I tell you, there's nothing I'd rather be doing than sitting here and banging out another one of these 80s pro wrestling podcasts.
Yeah, listen up, MFers, y'all.
Some people are at cookouts right now. No. Some people are out at the beach.
Sitting in our sweat watching wrestling.
Give me a break.
It's a waste
of time, these people's lives.
I just realized, as I sat in my house with no air conditioning watching a 1988 episode of WCW,
this is how a lot of suicide notes start.
Right, but I was like transported back in time to like being in the South watching wrestling as it aired, essentially.
Just getting fanned.
Just sweltering heat.
Got a
couple fans going. Dogs laying there trying not to die.
A stained linen suit that you've been wearing for like a week straight.
Oh, absolutely. You don't take that off when you get home.
Got a really romantic notion of what it's like to live in the South.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the track...
Oh, Carter, I'm so happy that we're getting married. I cannot wait for you to meet my family. They're gonna love you.
Oh, Shireen, I'm so nervous. Your dad is such a wealthy and powerful man. I don't think I'm the one he wants marrying his only daughter.
Shireen, it's past 7. Dinner bell rang at 5.
I'm sorry, Daddy, but I have some news for you and the whole family.
Are you Carter Stewart, son of Jameel and Regis Stewart, grandson of Colonel Washington Stewart and his wife Rhoda May, great-grandson of Judge Pullman Stewart and his wife Hilda Vernier Stewart? Carter, are you the great-great-grandson of the war hero who died under the old maple tree First Corporal Cheyenne Sontaine Baruch Stewart, and his father, a farmer, who went by the name of Paolo Stray Ravimbo Fossey 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 Stewart. Carter, let me ask you something. Are you the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Oliver Nuno Tome Fesso Samuel Petit Stewart, who put his initials on our good country's Declaration of Independence, and his wife, one of your grandmothers, Carter Vasily Hase Devra Moto Dutown Pasai Dutown Stewart, and her father, Labe Weso Passe Passe Timo Chantile Fesso Ravier Marseille Grandel Stewart, and her father, Big Chief Running Deer Stewart.
Well, yes, sir.
Why go on, Carter? I've made my point. You're part engine, son. Get off my property.
See you, Carter.
Oh, God. It's hot.
So, you know, big holiday week.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean the wrestling world is shutting down, or do you got some modern wrestling news for us?
I've got big modern wrestling news for you.
Oh, good, because I haven't been paying any attention. You're been out of the loop.
You're
busy
not,
week at work, you know. Oh. Got all these people in town, all these people celebrating.
Oh, they're getting those Memorial Day pizzas.
Oh, yeah. It's just right and left, top to bottom.
Oh, you got graduation parties,
oh,
too,
man,
right
I'm
now.
I'm a broken
people
man
want
right
pizzas
now.
For those.
I am a broken man, I'll tell you what.
How many pizzas do you think you're churning out for graduation parties?
Dozen, two dozen.
Oh, wow. Wow.
These parties get big, man.
Oh, boy.
It's not all just roasted chicken and mostaccioli anymore.
No.
People are really branching out with these. Yeah, we got beef sandwiches. We could do that for you.
Yeah, they're getting ideas.
Classic Indiana graduation party. Nothing better.
Cue up the John Cougar and let's just sit back for a second and listen to it.
You know, so but there was no going on to another question when Felicia Jeter interviewed rock star John Cougar. It hurt so bad at the time, but now it's just another memory.
I'm not having fun.
Okay, what would it take for you to have fun? What would it take for this interview to be just what you wanted it to be? Just to talk about what you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I just, I don't know. I hope these cameras still aren't running.
Why?
Howard.
We aren't doing anything that's unusual. You haven't really changed the fabric of the American
exactly, and that's why I don't want to talk
about anything heavy. Why is it so uncomfortable?
Howard.
Can't we move in a slightly different direction, Felicia? Because we're getting into a corner here.
I don't want to do it.
What's uncomfortable about this?
Well, it's more like a confrontation.
Yeah, I mean, you're confronting me with things that are like...
No, we'll stay. We can take another chat. Let's talk about your music.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want it on, Howard.
Goodbye. Nice having you on Night Watch. Sorry we couldn't keep you comfortable.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, Felicia.
Hey, our big wrestling news of the week. So we had the big Fox news.
That's last week's big wrestling news of the week.
So your
Fox deal, SmackDown.
Your news for how'd they follow that up?
Okay. You're keeping some momentum going on the corporate side of things?
No, they just turned out two awful television shows.
Oh, that makes
one of them,
sense.
The worst of the two was the one that's going to be airing on Fox, SmackDown.
SmackDown is, on its way to network television. This is just feeding into my theories about now that they're signing these big deals, they don't have to actually worry about putting on good shows anymore.
Nope.
They just have to worry about putting on shows.
Yeah, and they're doing it, technically.
Once you sell it all...
They're beating you on a technicality.
5 years of it off in one big chunk, a whole lot of that...
You really don't have to turn things on until about year four.
Oh, yeah. Well, negotiations... It's going to turn into... That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like politics. Like, every 4 years, we got re-elections coming up, so...
Get out there.
Yeah, better start shaking hands and getting my face on TV again. And then after that, it'll be another 3 years of sitting around, taking under-the-table deals, calling people and trying to get them to go to fundraiser dinners.
Yep.
Okay, let's do a rundown. This week's rundown is brought to us...
By the Wu-Tang Clan?
A little film out there. It's needing a little bit of help.
Oh.
It's needing a little bit of promotion.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of them, these young upstarts, Disney.
Oh, they got a new one out?
They got a wing of films out there. It's under the subheading of Lucasfilm.
Oh, this has got to be one of their classic animated films?
Little, just sort of independent character pieces about space wars.
Okay.
When I hear
right.
their new one isn't
oh,
doing
like
so well.
Oh, like Spaceballs.
Their new one, Solo, A Star Wars Story, not doing so well. People
what?
Are not coming out to the theaters
Excuse
in droves
me?
Like they have historically for these Star Wars tales. So
who's in this one?
You know, Alden Ehrenreich.
Ah,
bankable Hollywood actor.
Love that guy.
Alden Ehrenreich.
I love his shit. I love all his shit.
So anyways, Solo. It's got Woody Harrelson in it. It's a lot better than that piece of shit Rogue One.
Oh.
Give it a chance.
I thought for a second you said it had Woody Allen in it, and I was like, well, I don't know why they put him in there.
Let's be fair. There was already a Star Wars Woody Allen, and it was Watto.
Oh, Watto was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a space Jew if I've ever seen one.
Watto.
Yeah.
Do you want to build a little space?
All I think about is money. Look at my big space nose. I said George Lucas, when he was making those prequel movies, he went full-on 1980s pro wrestling racist.
I think Vince McMahon might have had a
He's got a producer's credit on those prequels
so.
From
Make them mean.
Late 90s?
Yeah, they're different.
Seems
hate
like
them.
They match up with his sensibilities.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fart jokes in there, but I don't remember anybody kissing a butt. Maybe somebody kissed. Probably Jar Jar kissed a butt, and I'm not
remembering
it. Somebody
accidentally put a
So,
face
yeah,
in the butt.
Solo, better than those prequels. Better than that hack to shit Rogue One.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, a coherent film, even though its directors were fired about three quarters of the way through the making of it.
I don't know
how they pulled it off.
I'm sorry, Ronnie Howard doesn't make bad movies.
It's not great. There's a lot of things you could say that are wrong with it. There's a lot of corny, like, winking fan service stuff that doesn't need to be in there. But overall, you know, Opie Taylor.
Yeah.
I think you saved this one.
Can you tell me one thing?
And out at the box office, you need to support Ron Howard. He's
up and comer.
He's got kids to
Real
feed.
Blue chipper.
Five kids to feed.
I don't want any spoilers, but can you tell me,
all right,
do we get a Clint Howard in the film?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's all I need to know. I'm in.
As well as a Willow.
I'm all in.
Hashtag. All in on this rundown.
All in on the rundown.
World Championship Wrestling, February 27th, 1988. Let's get into the rundown.
Lay it on me.
First match, Sting versus John
Ow!
Savage.
Randy's
Typical
brother.
Sting squash splash into the Scorpion, paint by numbers done. Ooh, not very typical. Our second match, Shane
Ooh,
Douglas and Ricky Santana. They're in there against the Cruel Connection.
That was George South and Gary
like
Royal.
He did a little binging
hoods.
Who was under those, not even hoods, but full lime green bodysuits.
Well, that's true.
What says cruelty like lime green. Bodysuits. Douglas wins with his exceptional belly-to-belly suplex taught to him by Magnum TA.
Looked a little better.
Stuck it. It was stiff.
It was the best one yet.
Sheepherders versus the Lightning Express.
Sheepherders with?
They got Johnny Ace
Thank
as
you.
Their flag bearer.
Thank you.
Jerry Marty Funkhouse.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Want to hear a joke?
No, he doesn't want to hear a joke. We got to read through.
Yeah, we got
to. Let me just get right through it.
Okay.
A woman's very afraid of the size of her opening.
What is she afraid of?
The size of her opening. So she goes to her mother. She says, what am I going to do? I'm so big down there. When I marry Harry, he's going to divorce me. Her mother says, don't worry, sweetheart. It runs in the family. Do what I did when I married your father. Go to the market, get some raw liver, put it in there. He'll never know the difference.
Oh, my God.
So she does. They have 8 hours of sex after their marriage. She wakes up at 10 o'clock. He's gone, but there's a note on her pillow. It says, my darling Harriet. To think that I waited a year to consummate our love relationship makes my heart beat so loud I'm surprised it didn't wake you up. The only reason I'm not here now, darling, is I'm at work to make enough money to buy you a house, a picket fence, we'll have dogs and children.
Ah, this is not so bad.
Oh, yeah, this is great. Will you finish the fucking joke already?
When the 5 o'clock dinner bell rings, I will be home like the winged gossamer of your love in your arms, your loving husband, Harry.
Ah, that's nice.
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
Okay, you told your joke. Let's go.
How good is that?
It surprised me.
It
surprised me. I had no idea it would be that revolting.
Match ends in a DQ after Johnny Ace hits Tim Horner with that flagpole.
What?
We got a little tag team theme going here. Into our next tag team match, Midnight Express versus Curtis Thompson and Cody Starr.
I almost missed that in time.
Bobby gets the pin after the rocket launcher.
This must have been where I started getting heat stroke.
Standard Midnight Express fashion. I gotta tell you, I made it a couple more matches before I started zoning out.
Mm.
The next one, Windham and Luger. Those guys going up against the NWA Tag Team Champions soon. They got to work out some kinks. So they're in there versus Gene Ligon and Rick Orassi.
Oh, no. This is officially where I start to stroke out.
Windham wins after a big lariat.
Because I don't even have how people win.
Okay. Ron and Jimmy Garvin. The brothers.
Yeah.
The rugged one and the attractive one. He's gorgeous,
allegedly,
I guess.
Allegedly attractive one.
Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. They're in there versus David Isley and Paul Lee. And I'm 90% sure that Ron Garvin won after the Garvin stomp.
Yeah.
I definitely saw the pin.
I'm gonna give you my entire notes on this one here. Garvin's versus David Isley and Paul Lee. Next line, Garvin stomp. What a dick.
Okay.
So I'd say so, yeah.
I'd say the most notable thing about this time, Garvin pinned the man with his sort of...
knee and not his balls, yeah.
His knee on the guy's head instead of his nuts teabagging him.
Which
so I don't know.
Cool move.
Maybe Dusty pulled him aside and told him, like, yeah, we're on TBS, man. This is a family show.
Yeah.
You gotta stop teabagging people at the end of your matches. Big six-man tag team action. The Powers of Pain and Ivan Koloff in there versus Jumpin' Mike Jackson.
Hell yeah.
The fleet-footed old man, Alan Martin and Joe Cruz.
Yes.
Total just squash, just
yes,
devastating squash. Barb wins with a diving headbutt on Martin, who the Warlord had in a backbreaker position.
Yep.
And they like these Warlord props up a guy in some way, and then another guy jumps off a rope and takes him out moves. Whatever, they work. Ron Simmons versus Ryan Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to it. Simmons wins with a spine buster.
Yes.
About as stiff as that Shane Douglas belly to belly, that spine buster. He really got him up.
He wasn't kidding, pal.
Got him up and put him down. Your boys, the Varsity Club, are in there next. More
Varsity
tag team action.
Club.
They're in there against Trent Knight and Gary Phelps. Phelps. Gary Phelps. That's right. Steiner wins with a super weird roll up.
It was like a
not
grape
a schoolboy.
Vine.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know if he was
like
going a for submission or what.
Looked like it was supposed to maybe be something else, and then it just turned into a pin.
He was grapevine in the one, and then stretch in the other. So I was like, oh, he's going for a sub. Oh no, that's a pin.
Either
way,
it worked. Got the job done. The Four Horsemen, the tag team champions of the world, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
Not to be confused with the United States tag team champions
or any of the other many, many champions.
Yes.
Oft get mentioned on this interminable program. They're in there versus Tony Super and Barry Colley. Arn and Tully take them out with an assisted gourd buster, and that's all she wrote.
Yep.
Not all she wrote for the show, though, because we got one big main event.
Huge.
Huge match.
This is going to be huge. It's
one you've been waiting months for. The living legend, Larry Zbysko, in there versus perennial NWA Job Squad member Max MacGyver.
My guy.
Basically, the whole match is Larry just attacking his eyes, and then he wins with that swinging neck breaker he does.
Yeah.
And then, that's it.
That's it.
Show's
that's
over.
All.
David Crockett bids us adieu. The credits roll, and then
no,
we get into our five count.
There's no adieu bid. Zbysko's actually in the middle of a decent promo once again, and they just done. They just cut him off halfway through.
I think that every one of these should just end with like a close-up on David Crockett as he just awkwardly waves at the camera. Just like a blank look in his eyes. I'll see y'all next week, folks.
If I don't hang myself just in my parents' bedroom.
Treat it like a full-on just like kids show, like a Bozo the Clown type kids show.
Yeah.
Just starring David Crockett. He should just refer to the audience as kids.
Hey,
coming up next, kids.
Hey, kids, it's the Stinger.
It'd be a much better show if you ask me.
Yeah, and I've always wanted
let's count it
to have
down.
A neighbor just like you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day since we're together. I'm just thinking of Dave Crockett's kids show.
Might as well say. Yeah,
I like it a lot.
Dave Crockett's getting out the fire hose.
I feel good about it. Who wants a drink from the fire hose?
Hey, kids, where do you want to go? That's right, to Uncle Nutsy's clubhouse. And boy, oh boy, are we going to have big fun today. We're going to have so much fun. We'll forget about how miserable we are and how much life sucks and how we're all going to grow old and die someday.
I want to go home.
Shut up, you little weasel. Okay. Right now, I'd like to show you one of my favorite cartoons. It's a sad, depressing story about a pathetic coyote who spends every waking moment of his life in the futile pursuit of a sadistic roadrunner who mocks him and laughs at him as he's repeatedly crushed and maimed. Hope you enjoy it!
We ran it down. Now let's count it down.
Count it down.
Number one in your five count.
Funk Soul Brother right about now. My number one.
That's a good song,
man. First or whatever. Sting versus John Savage, that whole segment.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they just effectively build Stinger week after week.
John Savage. Pretty ripped as shit.
That dude was ripped,
cool name,
bro.
John Savage. Gotta wonder why he didn't go anywhere.
I don't know, man.
Like, he was more roided out than Sting. Smaller dude, but like...
Shredded.
Cut.
He was shredded.
Cut to shit.
He had way more definition.
Like, that physique, not natural. There was nothing natural looking about
it.
I loved it.
Rick Rude-esque. Let me tell you. Yeah. But I like this Sting build. You know, what are you going to do? He goes in there. He beats his guys up. Unlike Ronnie Simmons, he's not doing any stupid rest holds in the middle of the match.
No, get it done with.
And I got
the moves that I know that works, so I do them, and then I win the match.
Correct. And then he comes down to the old interview station. He
comes correct.
Yeah, and he does his little, ow!
Oh, his promo was pretty rambling this week.
Doesn't matter. The fans
are
eat
into
it up. They love this guy. He can do no wrong.
Just coherent enough to where you can just vibe on the energy, whereas Luger's promos are just too incoherent, where you kind of have to like furrow your brow and pay attention and be like, what did he say?
Luger, and
what's
here's the difference.
About?
Luger shoots himself in the foot with another thing. I want to talk about one more thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Stinger just rambles quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then instead of saying another thing,
and he's like, "I got partying to do now. Let's I'm getting the rest of my Beastie Boys together."
He rambled for a second, and then he literally turned to Dave Crockett and finished his interview by saying, "Talk to you later, David." And then just walked away.
Hey, I'll see you at the party later, bro.
Yeah, and Dave Crockett was just left there. All right,
Stinger.
Like, what a nice guy.
Hey, can I get a ride?
He's a real nice guy. Heard you going to the party tonight. It's going to be so rad.
Show after show, just more and more I'm digging into this new position they've put David Crockett in, where he's just pleased as punch to be hanging out with pro wrestlers, and like that's the only reason he's there, just to have a big smile on his face and laugh along to everything everybody's saying and just be super excited and look at the camera once in a while. Like, can you believe this? Can you believe this happening? Get that guy out of the commentary booth, and I'm suddenly seeing why everybody likes him so much.
Yep. So yeah, there you go. Stinger doing it right. There's no reason at all why they weren't just focusing exclusively on Sting versus Flair and getting all the money in the world out of that.
Too many matches to promote. Still on that.
If you would
making our money from the house show
if
cycle,
you would have
doesn't
had,
make for coherent TV shows.
If you would have had the focus that a WWF had back then,
laser focus,
and just pimp the shit out of Sting versus Flair.
Yeah.
God,
we'll get there.
Damn the money they would have
made.
We'll
get there at that Clash of the Champions.
Not yet, though.
Big match. My number one.
Hell yeah.
I really love that sit-down interview they did with Animal.
That's my number two. Let's get into it.
All right, real good. We had that big attack at that bench pressing competition some weeks back. That dreaded bench pressing competition
we spent smashed
months building up to.
On a weight plate.
Yeah, so what do? They got him out here, and he's not wearing his fucking spike shoulder pads. He doesn't have his face paint.
Nope.
He's not standing up and screaming and hollering like he always does.
And he even tells you, I'm using my regular voice.
Sitting down.
Because I can't yell right
now. He's got his face obscured with big old shades,
those
big old
really
darkened
cool
shades.
Sunglasses.
Bandana on his head.
A Japanese themed bandana.
He's real somber and he's talking real quiet to put over how serious this is.
Yeah.
They really hurt him. They really injured. They went too far. Those powers of pain. And Paul Jones, those motherfuckers. I really just like the gravity of this, how they made the injury seem important, how this feud seems important. Like, this is just, you got to underline something every once in a while by breaking out of the usual format and doing something new.
And whenever...
Suddenly they're not doing squash match screaming interview, squash match screaming interview.
Correct.
So when they do something different,
it
stands out.
Yeah.
It stands out. And I'm like, ooh, Animal's serious here. What's he going to do when he gets back in the ring?
And anytime they've done these sit-down WCW interviews...
Like with Dusty and the Boot? Yeah.
They always go over like gangbusters, classic. Man. Classic. It's good shit. Like, it wasn't even a long bit. Animal just kind of...
Nah, he didn't really say anything revolutionary. No, it was just the delivery, the difference from how you usually see him.
Right.
Just letting you know, hey, this ain't like all the other stuff. Like,
especially since like...
This one you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Road Warriors, Legion of Doom, they're known for one kind of promo, and it's just the full roided up
it's
yelling.
It's the best kind of promo. Yeah, it's a classic 1980s steroid yell.
They are two of the absolute best at it.
The staring into the camera... Pumped up on cocaine and steroids, just screaming and spitting.
Oh, my brain's gonna come out of my head right now.
So when that's all you do all the time, and then suddenly you're quiet and you're somber.
Yeah.
Ooh, buddy.
It strikes a chord with you.
Loved it.
One of my favorite parts of this is he's talking about how he's known pain before and this and that, but this was real pain he went through.
Streets of Chi-Town, man.
Well, that's what he was talking about. Coming up in the streets of Chicago, he's been through gang fights and collecting money.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to all this, and I'm like, they talk about this kind of shit all the time. Definitely. How are they the good guys?
You know, you're coming up in Chi-Rac, you got to do what you got to do.
They're always just like making like vague references to doing slightly shady shit that may or may not be legal.
It's like that first Rocky movie. Before he was our hero, he was kind of breaking people's legs for fucking gamblers. You know?
Southpaw.
I'm not really the worst guy, but I figure if I got to break your legs, it's probably because you owe somebody money. You shouldn't be gambling if you don't have the money. I don't know.
Maybe not very good gambling.
I don't want to break your legs. If I got to break your legs, I'll break it real quick. Won't be very clean. I'm not like a surgeon or anything. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm a big dumb idiot. I got to smash your leg pretty good.
Hey, Stallone got a Jack Johnson pardoned by Donald Trump.
Huh? Is Jack Johnson one of those white guys with like an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, he got him pardoned.
What was he accused of?
Crimes under the Mann Act in the 1930s or 40s.
None of this is registering as real to me.
Oh, well, it is.
I'm super confused.
Oh, it might have been that black boxer. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Either way, Stallone reaching out to his good buddy, President Trump.
As long as that your body is a wonderland, guy's not in jail.
That's mayor.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor.
Jack Johnson gave us the Curious George soundtrack.
There was a Curious George movie?
Yeah, I don't know about it either. Okay, whatever.
Watch that for our next rundown.
This guy. I got a number three.
Okay, let's get into it.
The Sheepherders versus the Lightning Express.
That's my number two. We're going right back and forth.
Bam!
Here.
I enjoyed the shit out of this. Why?
I agree.
They gave it time. They told a story, and it felt meaningful.
An actual match between
meaningful
two teams that are presented as not being jobbers.
Meaningful wrestling.
And they got some time to build, and they were building heat. It's like the Express didn't get much to do, but they kept getting like hope spots, like they were maybe going to come back. Then right when the crowd wanted to pop up and like get excited, Sheepherders would cut them off again. They kept milking it, kept making them want it. That's a classic tag team shit.
Job.
Build up the anticipation of like, oh, they're going to come back. And then, nope.
And
just cut it off.
It's great because like all I'm familiar with the Sheepherders are the Bushwhacker days.
That's salad days.
That's nothing to look back on, you know? And
they did a real good job covering Brother Love in sardines and smashing him in his mouth and his eyes and his ears in episode of the Brother Love show.
That was a shoot. That wasn't a work.
Yeah, but it grossed me out so much when I was watching it that I had to puke. I puked all over my mom's hair dryer and ruined it.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm crushing all those sardines in Brother Love's mouth straight up. I remember my grandma was babysitting for me at the time, and then she was just like, oh, my God. Everything was fine. I had him sitting in front of the TV, and then like everything just went south. I'm not gonna babysit anymore, I don't think.
Wow.
And she retired after that. I never saw her again.
I threw up one time while eating Bugles.
No, I'm sorry. Keep going, but I got my stories entangled.
I threw up one time eating Bugles when I was either listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack on cassette or the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack on cassette.
Okay.
Can't remember which one.
You sure you weren't making a mashup of the two at the time?
No, it was just one or the other.
DJ setup.
And I was just laying down, eating some Bugles, enjoying some tunes. Both soundtracks incredible, by the way. And all of a sudden, just got sick. I threw him up, and I must have been very young, because, well, shit, if it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that came out in, like, 89.
Yeah, that was the best year of my life.
I was, like, somewhere between the ages of 6 and 8, and haven't had a Bugle since.
Yeah, I tell you, I was
can't keep them
very
down.
Easily grossed out when I was a kid. That story with the sardines and me puking, that's not what ruined the hairdryer. The reason I puked on that hairdryer was when they were eating the monkey brains in the second Indiana Jones movie. That grossed me out so bad.
Oh, you had a weak stomach as a kid.
Things would really get to me.
They're eating.
It wasn't until later in life when I developed my reputation for being able to, you know.
Oh, iron gut Nate Adams.
Swim in the sewers.
Yeah.
Eat things that make a billy goat puke.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm fine.
Absolutely.
I've seen every gross thing under the sun.
Well, it's good that you
can't give me to bat an eyelash.
It's good that you got over that before the Godwins came to the WWF.
Oh yeah,
you know?
They were those hog farmers. They were doing all sorts of weird.
They were
stuff
slopping
with pig
people
shit.
All the time. You would have been just puking left and right. Don't throw it on Sonny. Don't throw it.
Didn't Triple H get slopped a bunch of times back before Triple H had any stroke in the business?
Yeah. Like we talk a lot of shit about H and what he's done and how he had a stranglehold in 2007.
Funny what an egomaniac he is.
He really went through some shit in those early years. If you look back, if you like search anybody's awful gimmick, like H is jobbing to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
What happens when you're the bag boy for the main eventers who are assholes to everyone else on the roster?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Got to go through a period of retribution, buddy.
Yep. But yeah, the match was great. You know, went down how it should. They left you wanting more.
I just feel like it fell apart at the very end.
Right. Some of those.
There's too much like interference.
Near falls and
Teddy Long had to like keep counting and then
it's
stop
like,
counting
because
somebody
like
missed their cue
stop?
To interrupt.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was just gonna say there's a lot of miscues at the end where he's like, one, two.
Now I'm gonna
somebody
stand up.
Somebody, anybody.
Somebody was supposed to stop me from doing that count.
Oh no, you interfered! I can't count to three.
Yeah, that like happened twice. It was
it was weird.
It was really broke down. You guys had a nice classic formula tag match going, and then the schmoz finish suddenly turned into a disaster.
Yeah.
So it was almost a good match. Yeah. Is my point. That's my point.
I'm gonna give it the
discount.
One of the best matches in 1988 WCW.
The closest they've gotten to putting a good match on this show in a while.
Yeah. So that was my three. What's your number three?
Okay, I got a two-parter here.
Mm.
It's just a Midnight Express tag team match. I was really impressed how they were riding these jobbers. It was probably the best squash match on this show. Just showing tons of aggression. Doing a lot of cool double team stuff and just like riding these guys, staying on them, doing the same move to them multiple times for no reason other than they're just mean and they're nasty. And this is the sort of like stuff I always pick out and say that like Double A does really well. All these little things he does to show fire and show nastiness and just be mean in the ring.
Yeah.
And then comparatively, this is like the second match in a row I think I've seen from the Horsemen where they look like they're just paint by numbers out there.
Yeah.
Come in, do their moves to the jobbers, and then get out.
Yeah.
I gotta wonder, at this point in their career, are these like money issues that send them packing up to WWF? Is this already happening? And they're getting frustrated and they're kind of checked out here in 1988?
That makes sense, because if you listen to their promos, they're talking a lot about money. They're just constantly being like, we get paid.
Looking at these paychecks.
We get paid. We get paid.
We've been the top guys for a long time. Yeah. Starting to wonder why some of these young guys are suddenly making more money than us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I just haven't seen that fire in Double A and Tully in the last couple matches they've had on this show. Maybe it's a long taping or something, and this is just a coincidence. They're
could be.
Burnt
could
out.
Be.
But I don't know. I feel like the Midnight Express are picking up the slack here and being that
Midnight Express
hot ass heel tag team.
Yeah, they're the best thing going in WCW
at this
point.
I agree. That package with Jim Cornette, you can't beat it.
Arn Anderson's still delivering on those promos.
Oh, though. That promo he cut in this episode was real good. Yeah. Real fired up.
Like you said, that in-ring work, they're saving that.
I feel like they don't
care. They're saving
care
that for the
bit.
Coliseum.
They're kind of done with squashing
for the
these
Greensboro
jobbers.
Coliseum.
Here in Atlanta, these Atlanta TV studios.
You
but
blame
I'm pretty sure, 1989 is when they move on. They move up, so it's got to be coming up here soon. Where
I want to say 90 was when they.
I know for sure that they fought the Hart Foundation at the SummerSlam 1989. So.
Oh, it was in 89.
So I know at some point in that year they had to have.
Oh yeah,
made
we're
the
in
move.
88 right now. So yeah.
Huh? Crockett laughed at Jim Cornette insulting him again. He just can't help but
giggle
at everything Jim
one.
Cornette says. Yeah, I don't know what happens. He do the post-match promo. First thing Cornette does, he throws some insult at Crockett, and Crockett's just like...
He's funny. Oh. It stings
he's
a little,
just
but
in
he's full funny.
On having good time mode.
It stings a
doesn't
little,
doesn't matter
buddy.
Who he's talking
he's
to.
Funny. He had a good dig against Dave Crockett before the match. They were talking about the Jim Crockett Senior Tag Team Tournament.
Yeah, Memorial Cup.
And the dream matches that can come out of it. And Cornette said, I got another dream match for you. Dave Crockett in the English language.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty
the
good.
Guy doesn't talk well.
No.
I think my favorite part about the whole thing is that post-match promo when it's just like Cornette's talking. And the whole time Cornette's talking, the Midnights are just scanning the crowd for rats.
Oh,
and
my
just
God,
pointing
yeah.
Them out and whispering
right?
to each other, like, that one. We're going to grab that one, or we're going to pull her back.
Like, I was watching, I'm like, they're always doing something during these things. What are they doing this time?
Full on just scanning
and I
the
him
crowd
around,
for rats.
Around, and then I see, like, the nudges and the points, and it's like,
letting
oh.
Cornette do all the work.
Oh.
They got their filthy minds on one thing.
Yeah. There's probably
keep it
like,
in your pants, buddy. We got a wrestling show to do here.
Probably a little bit of like, what about that one? Looks a little too young.
What about that one? Not chubby enough.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know beautiful Bobby was slamming some big girls.
Oh, yeah, he got to.
Yeah, God bless him. And then they almost stole
Stanley
Tony Schiavone's pen.
Stacked up like cordwood.
Oh.
Four or five
at a
time.
Me? You kidding me? You just plow right through him, man. He's like, Slayer. I got a number four.
Cool.
After the Wyndham and Luger match, and then
I remember that one.
The interview that came afterwards.
I say Wyndham pulled off a couple of dynamite drop kicks in that match.
Oh yeah, he's
one of the few guys who makes drop kicks look like they'd actually like hurt.
Right, that's one of the few notes I have on this match is Wyndham really makes everything look easy.
Mm-hmm. Usually drop kicks, you just gotta like understand in pro wrestling logic they hurt, even though physics wise they wouldn't.
Right,
he kind of looks like he's. Coming at you with a real kick.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's
you're actually getting kicked with his drop kicks.
I think it's because he gets up, his elevation's great, and then he gets completely parallel
lanky
with
ass,
the mat.
Just gets his lanky fucking
yeah,
long body.
And then
body
you just
totally
see that
parallel.
Like 6'8" frame just like across the screen, and you're like, hey, this is a real
good
thing,
stuff.
Man.
Good stuff.
He's getting you here. But it came to me after the interview where Lex Luger was doing the want to talk about it right now. What a thing I want to talk about right now.
But also
and one
another
more thing,
thing
I want to talk about right now is WCW, they hype like 20 events every show, like different things that are coming up, but then they never recap or give you a substantial recap. Like we just had WWF and the whole big show being about the Andre Hogan
just
angle.
What their one big angle they're selling is now. You focus on it, you go back to it, you make sure people are thinking about it, you hammer it home.
WCW, I have no idea if these angles have come to fruition yet or not.
So many are happening.
I have no idea. Like, I'm like, is that over? Did they have that match? No. Oh, they didn't? Like, this cage match, the big six-man cage match that they're building
I thought
up
it was
to.
Done last
I
week when
so
everybody
too.
Had their foreheads all cut
and
up.
I was like, oh, no,
then,
no,
no,
it's
it
still
wasn't.
Going.
And now they're saying it's tomorrow
week.
Night.
And then
so
I
guess maybe next week when like, we watch this shit, it will have happened.
Whatever happened to that intergender match with Jim Cornette in the Midnight?
Yeah.
Did that happen yet?
Didn't ever get any of the fallout of that on the show.
I don't know. Maybe it hasn't happened yet.
This whole Dusty and Baby Doll, what's in the envelope angle, like it started
hot as hell
while he's still like feuding with Flair and Arn and Tully going into this cage match. So
right.
Like, now it's just on the back burner.
Yeah,
and
Dusty
like
could
it doesn't
care
matter.
Less
like,
about it.
Why don't you wait until the feud you're in now is over and then start that feud next? And then everything can have its proper focus.
So like I said, I mean, we complain all the time about how they have, like, you know, too many pots going on the old stove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's no follow-up, man. So then I don't even know if shit's over or not.
I gotta say, that one feud that we've actually gotten built up to and then it happened and then we're getting follow-up on is the whole Powers of Pain, Road Warriors, bench press kind of thing. Like, they built up to it for a long time. They thought it was never going to happen. Then it finally happened.
Yeah.
It was cool. It wasn't as bad as we thought.
No.
And now we're getting the fallout from it every week. First, you got Hawk just pissed off and raging. Animal's gone for a bit. Now you got Animal back, and he's
continuing
licking his wounds and
it's
showing
great.
That he's been hurt.
It's good.
One shining example of coherence on this show.
Everything else is just so bad because they like just pile more and more guys into it. And it's like everybody hates everybody. I don't know what feud's meaningful.
I gotta tell you, what's real meaningful is my number four is Lex Luger's current feud with just
his penis?
His sweat glands.
Oh, his sweat glands.
So just like every week I've been talking about this a little bit. How Lex Luger is always so much sweatier than everybody else.
He really is.
And they have that match. The big finish is Barry's. Barry gets the big pin. He does the finishing
sequence.
Flying
lariat, yeah.
He should be, you know, the one. Luger's had a little bit more rest than him when they come out of that ring. And
yeah,
come into
Luger didn't do much in that.
And then they get up to the desk, and Barry Windham, dry as a bone.
Correct.
Not a drop of sweat on him. Luger just fucking glistening, head to toe, just sweat pouring out of his fucking forehead, pouring out of his chest.
Like he came out of a pool and walked right to the
And then
set.
He talked for 2 minutes, and after the 2 minutes, he was twice as sweaty as he was when the interview started. Like,
heated.
Just the interview made him sweatier.
Yeah, he gets
this
fired
man,
up.
This man needs to see a doctor. No one else, like, Dusty's fat ass is coming out
True.
Of his ring. Not nearly as sweaty as Luger is. What's wrong with him? Is he just like, I don't know, taking a pound of beta alanine every day and just his core temperatures at like 120 degrees?
It's hard to say.
What the fuck could be happening to this man?
Yeah, he runs hot.
How many
guy.
Different horse pills hot. Does this man fucking have coursing through his system right now?
It's all package, you know?
Yeah, total package. It's the nickname of all this. "Quote unquote supplements that get delivered to him every week at those
TV
tapings.
He gets a package
tapings.
Every week, and he takes all of them. He's the total
Half
package.
Half of them go in your butt. Half of them go, I don't know, up your nose. I don't know
Wherever
how it works.
Wherever it goes, man.
I don't know how it works. Wherever Either it way, Luger, still sweating. Still sweating after all these years.
Sweating into the 90s with Lex Luger. Should have
done some workout videos with him or something.
Yeah.
Capitalize on that sweat into the oldies craze.
Like, I know. More muscles you have like that, the more oxygen it takes up. So cardio's key. You think he's just like phoning it in and just does absolutely no cardio?
Yeah, I gotta imagine Luger's one of those pure aesthetics. Like, no actual cardio work.
All show no
Get
go.
All my cardio in the ring, man. During my 30-second squash matches.
Yeah. Ugh. God, that's hard to watch. Hey, our guy Dusty, he did one of my favorites this week.
Okay.
This isn't my number five.
Okay,
I just want to say
Okay, that's just
going to
be my number five. So that's what
big,
I got down.
Big Dust?
So we're getting into Big
well,
Dust
I'll
right
give
now.
Well, I'll give you my
getting
number
into big
five.
Dust right now.
My number five's throwaway. It took place in the big six-man match, Powers of Pain and Koloff.
Yeah.
And this is the second or third week JR's done this, and he's done this throughout his career.
What are you doing, you old
He takes something,
old dish rag, JR.
And he tries to make it, like, real, even though everybody else is like, JR, that's not how the world works.
Uh-huh.
And this time, it's JR's insistence that newspapers report wrestling injuries. Because for 2 or 3 weeks, whenever they do the Powers of Pain or Legion of Doom, he's like, I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised to wake up one morning, read a USA Today, and find out one of these men in this feud was injured and sent to the hospital the
I'm
night before.
Sure about that.
And it's like, it's one of those moments, and I know he did it in WWF too, like in the Attitude Era and shit. Like, he'll talk about something and deliver it as like just everyday matter-of-fact truth. And
I
you
like
listen
that.
To it and you're like, JR, no. Nah, the world doesn't work like that, man.
There's a whole genre of movies like that I like, where like they exist in a world where the one thing that the movie's about is like the most popular thing ever. Like, Like that fucking Stallone arm wrestling movie that is just like in a world where everybody loves arm wrestling and everything's like, about arm wrestling.
I'm pretty like connected to what's going on. Like, where's all this arm wrestling happening?
I think JR lives in a world where professional wrestling is the only sport and it gets mainstream coverage.
They're just talking about wrestling injuries in the newspaper every Sunday.
Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer is USA Today. He probably just gets them confused.
Could be. Either way, it's great, and I love it, so shout out, JR. Let's talk about Dust.
What a card.
Let's close this out, talk about Big Dust.
Big Dust comes out here.
Big Dust, if you will.
He's got a promo. We're building up mostly, you know, it's NWA, so we're talking about this, that, and the other thing, but it's mostly the final, last minute, trying to talk him into the building promo for that six-man in a cage tag match that
apparently
I guess
hasn't
is happening tomorrow night. Earlier on, Flair's out here crowing about it and talking about all the things they're doing, and he's really getting on a woman for being fat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
Like he does. This is one of his classic things, picking out a fat girl in the audience and really sticking it to her, but this one went on for a while. Like, he had a good minute where he literally turns his back fully to the camera and just forgets that he's on a wrestling show, essentially, and is just berating this woman for being overweight. So Dusty comes back with a retort.
I also like that he said, you look at a woman like that, and a lot of people would call her fatso, and that's not nice. And then he proceeds to call her sweatso.
Yeah, that was, I didn't know if I heard that right.
You heard it.
I guess
she was Lex Luger sweating over there.
But it's not really a word people say. But a Rhodes comes out here to retort.
He wanted to leave it open enough in case he decided he wanted to take a run at it later.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't mind a sweaty girl.
But Big Dust comes out.
And he's just like, oh, you're talking about fat girls. He's calling this girl fat in the audience. You're talking about my sister. And he just goes on to talk for like 5 minutes about how fat his sister is.
My sister walks around 6'2", 385.
Like, this has got nothing to do with anything.
Nope.
Like, he's literally just talking about how fat his sister is. Calls his sister fat on national television.
Yeah.
And like, somehow this is supposed to be building the match. But like, the audience is just buying it, hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, absolutely.
You talk about Sting, they're like, he can ramble and they're still behind it.
Yeah.
Dusty is that to like the nth degree at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
He's bulletproof, man. He comes out here, he's just...
As long as he's talking, they're cheering.
He can say anything, and they're just like, absolutely, Dusty. He's totally just no-selling the baby doll thing again.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares.
He's
just
talking about buying and selling people. That's what Million Dollar Man talks about.
Total, not only
like,
just heel shit, but against his common man, American dream character.
He's like,
character.
I got so much money. I can do whatever I want.
He's just so charismatic that people are like, you tell him,
Justin. Yeah, you're the goodest guy ever.
It's amazing. It's like going back into the 70s, like, I don't know, him and Murdoch shit, and then you early 80s, Georgia Championship Wrestling shit. Like, he's been the top guy for a long, long time at this point. You think that they'd be sick of him, but this
talking
crowd
like 10
is
years right here. Yeah.
Not sick of Dusty Rhodes.
No,
at
not at all.
I was astonished by it. About how this promo is just nothing doing, not putting over like the gravity of the situation or like the importance of this match whatsoever. But like,
and that
everybody was molten hot.
That whole thing about his sister, I didn't understand if the threat was that his sister was going to beat up Flair or rape Flair.
Well, you know. Either way, Ric Flair's waking up with bruises the next day.
Yeah, there's a joke there about Space Mountain. I'm not sure what it is, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Space Mountain.
Tell you what.
Volcano when it erupts because he's got VD from Dusty's sister.
Ooh.
Ugh.
Oh, that's sad to hear. That's going to wrap it up for this week of WCW.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we'll take a quick break.
All right.
A couple commercials.
I'm going to maybe catch a nap.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, this heat's really just sapped
I'm just excited to be in your air-conditioned house right now, man.
I was out mowing my grass
earlier.
I
feel like a million bucks.
93 degrees. Whew. I was Lex Luger sweaty.
Were you?
Absolutely.
Well, glad to see you recovered. Let's see if we can talk about something else when we come back after these commercials.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Today, wrestling fans, we're talking with U.S. Heavyweight Wrestling Champion Dusty Rhodes.
The American Dream and his new thirst-quenching partner, Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow, Dusty?
Yeah, baby, you know Mellow Yellow's got that fine citrus taste. And ooh, it'll beat that Mountain Dew every time in that taste test match.
There you have it. The new tag team champions, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and great-tasting Mellow Yellow.
Woo, the winning taste. And the winning taste.
Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet is number one in sales because of our guaranteed sales policy.
You want the best price and the greatest selection.
So we offer over 1,500 new cars and trucks ready for immediate delivery.
We offer low-rate financing to qualified buyers.
Plus, we guarantee you'll save more money on any new car or truck, or we'll give you back the difference in cash.
At Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet in Elmhurst at York and Roosevelt Roads,
where you always save more money.
Baby, All in Blow is a wrestling show. Oh, Lord, please don't be WCW.
See what I did there?
Good news. We already got through that part of it.
Yeah.
I know we're hallucinating here.
Yeah. It's
holiday weekend, heat stroke.
Heat stroke holiday.
Timelines are the first thing to go.
Holiday.
Timelines are starting to jumble.
What is this, a 90s X-Men run?
This is a 90s X-Men run right now. I would
timelines are getting
hoping
jumbled.
That it would be one of those morph episodes, because I gotta tell you,
Wolverine, fall back!
That was always my favorite shit. Whenever Morph would show back
this
up,
one's
I'd be like,
for you, Morph.
Here we go. This is gonna be the one. Morph's gonna rejoin.
They're gonna
the
reestablish
show for real
him as a
this
character.
Time. He's gonna be a character back again full time, because for some reason, my young mind had decided that I really liked Morph.
Oh, absolutely. I was a huge Morph fan.
But they never brought him back. It'd just be like, oh no, he's just here for one more episode, then he's gone. They'd give you a little Morph, and they take it right back. It
took him forever to finally make that Morph figure. Big fan of him.
It took a real time for them to actually do anything with his character, and then they brought him back during that Age of Apocalypse storyline in the comics, and made Morph a real fun character again. And then I was like, oh yeah, now Morph's gonna be in the comics at least, and he's gonna be a lot of fun. But then that Age of Apocalypse storyline ended, and they went back to the normal 616 Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Morph was gone again.
He's gone.
I was just like,
you're gone. Didn't he have like a
do to get some Morph?
Didn't he have like a gray head or something in that apocalypse?
Yeah, he's kind of like gave him like a
some kind of mutant
multicolored crazy body, but then like a just blank white head. And
yeah,
like kind of a little bit of like a Jim Carrey The Mask thing. Only like
smoking.
He was white instead of green. I feel like they were cashing in a little bit on that
Mask
just wave of mask hysteria that was sweeping the nation in the 1990s. Cameron Diaz
looks smoke
very
show.
Juggy in that movie.
Smoke show.
What happened?
Right?
What happened?
How do you so hot in one movie?
And the rest and of your career.
It's the rest
like,
of the movie you end up looking like Cameron Diaz.
Hmm.
That's fucked up.
Old Goomba head Cameron Diaz.
Oh, God. Your fun fact for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that voiced Morph was the guy that voiced the Crypt Keeper.
I heard a rumor that he was also Peter Venkman. And
no, that's a different guy. That's a different guy.
Also Garfield.
Come on now, I know my voice actors. You
really do know your voice actors. Did you do like a report on them in high school or something?
I'm not going to lie to you. It's I got two dream jobs of mine. Number one is host of The Price is Right.
Oh, sure.
Like, if you can just, like, stop, like, you get a genie's wish or whatever the fuck, if you're like, you can have any job you want right now, just put you right into there. Host of The Price is Right.
I used to always tell guidance counselors that I wanted to think up the joke prizes on Let's Make a Deal.
That's pretty good.
And they were like, that hasn't been on since the early 80s, man.
We're going to call the police and your mother.
And I was like, well, that's why it's a dream job, stupid fucking guidance counselor.
Yeah, open up your mind, dick nose. But number one would be, host of The Price is Right. Number two, voice acting.
I can see that.
I'd like to do that.
As cashing some easy paychecks.
Thank you. That's kind of the
show up.
It's like my shit right there.
Show up in pajama pants, knock some shit out. All right, I'm going home.
See you later.
It seems weird to me that the Sandman hasn't gotten any voice acting shit. Mr. Adam Sandler, as much as he likes to just show up to his movie sets wearing the clothes that he was actually going to wear that day anyways.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, stumble through his lines and not really.
He must have.
I guess he's done a couple of those animated movies.
He's got the Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, yeah, there
I think
you go.
Number three's coming out right now.
Okay, so he's dabbling in it. I think this is the future for Adam
but
Sandler.
But it took a while.
Once he runs through this Netflix deal, however many deals, it's just going to be all cartoon shit.
I think he had a real harrowing experience on Eight Crazy Nights, his first animated feature. Mm-hmm. Because it was years after.
That might have been a turning point for him when he did Eight Crazy Nights and he could just show up like and not have to do a character or do any makeup. And he was
I don't got to get on the screen and talk to anybody.
This is great. I'm just going to do this in all my live action movies from now on, too.
Hey,
I got a polo and some khaki shorts.
Yeah.
Who's the 19-year-old underwear model who's going to be playing my wife?
For no reason.
Got it figured out. I wish I was part of that Sandman crew.
I'm going to tell you.
That's my dream job, just being one of Sandler's friends who shows up in all of his shit.
Another thing I want to talk about.
Sandler crony, dream job.
Oh, that's a good pick. All those like early aughts Sandler movies where it was like
the salad days.
This guy's not funny anymore, and he's making these movies with all these young girls.
That's your opinion.
Like you were talking
Some
about.
Some of us still thought he was very funny.
I skipped them all in the theaters.
Big mistake.
Well, the treat's all mine because it turns out I love watching them for the first time as they air on TBS.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way.
I saw that one where he and Nick Swarsden, and he's pretending to be married to Jennifer Aniston.
I gotta say, that's maybe
from
the
Jennifer
worst
Aniston.
One he's
What's that
ever
one called?
Done. I don't
they go to
remember.
Like Mexico. He's trying to like lie to some woman's
Jennifer
kid.
Jennifer Aniston's like his assistant
Secretary
or whatever. And he's
dental,
like, "Dude, you gotta pretend like you're my super hot wife so I can trick some other chick who's even hotter and younger than you."
And like,
and then Nick Swarsden's like, full, "I'm going to die of full blown alcoholism.
Oh, absolutely.
Soon.
Yeah.
This is my gimmick now. I'm a member of a Deadpool. How long do you think I got? It's not long."
He also, like, Sandler...
Remember my last movie? I put on another 20 pounds of alcohol weight since
alcohol.
Then.
Alcohol. All alcohol. You can see it. All. I gained 20 pounds in my chin, jawline, and neck.
Man, after my own heart. I love what that guy's doing.
Also, that movie takes place in that alternate JR reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody just is, like, okay with the fact that, like, Sandler's hot shit and cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's, like, some... bigwig plastic surgeon.
Well, that's every Sandler movie. Sort of just like reaches his pinnacle in Don't Mess with the Zohan, where they just have a lot of fun about how like everybody in the world thinks that this Zohan guy is like most sexually charismatic, like coolest guy ever. Don't Mess with the Zohan might be his best movie.
Oh,
I need
we
to watch
that
again.
A lot. We still gotta watch Love Guru again with Mike Myers.
I really want to do that double feature. Yeah. Don't Mess with the Zohan Love Guru. Like, get good and drunk.
Just watch two promising comedians make the very best movies of
like
their careers.
Like, get some edibles or something and really freak out my brain before I do that. I'm gonna make this a little to-do.
Just a fistful of something right up
there. It's on the
pooper.
Docket. Yeah. It's upcoming like Baby it. Oil and Blow. We're just gonna... give up on wrestling and just do Sandler movies.
Sandler and Mike Myers.
This is not a threat, it's a promise.
Yeah, so watch out. Get ready for it. But I tell you what, it's Memorial Day weekend, or it just passed if you're listening to this on a Thursday. And
it's a weekend of remembrance.
You're remembering all the wars and all the sacrifices that were made.
In the name of grudge.
In the name of grudge. In the name
America.
Of grudge.
They get in a little conflict. With another country, an evil country, then tensions build, come to blows. Eventually, there's so much grudge that we got to go to war. Going to war is how you get veterans. Dead veterans is how you get Memorial Day.
I'm just edging over your speech.
I
go
get
ahead.
It. It's good. But pro wrestling's a little bit different. They die incidentally, pro wrestlers.
Correct.
They don't die because of the grudge and because of the war. It's just
mostly because of the
later
drugs.
On because of drugs and stuff.
If you spell most of grudge backwards and move a couple letters around, it spells drugs.
Drugs, yeah. It's close. Close enough. Grudge is a big part of pro wrestling, though. Big part of Memorial Day, big part of pro wrestling. We're big fans of grudge, connoisseurs, if you will.
We are two of the nation's leading experts on the subject
really
of grudge.
Really just get that first whiff. I feel like we're just the canaries in the coal mine. When grudge is starting to brew, you got some semblance of grudge bubbling up. We're the first people that can sense it and be like, I think there's some grudge going on here.
Or, nah, this shit'll blow over.
These two guys... they got beef. They don't got grudge. These two guys over here, I think there's a little bit of grudge going on.
What's beef?
I don't know. Beef is it's like a fart in the wind. It's like a grudge that never was.
I was trying to get you to quote Biggie.
I don't know that quote.
He's got a whole song. What's beef? Beavis having a
gun. Only like the one from
Guns
that,
at Night. I don't know. From Hardball.
Keanu movie where the kid has to listen to Big Papa while he pitches.
You put Keanu and Johnny Hawks in the same film.
Oh, and I think a Diane Lane too is in that.
I think you're right.
That movie.
I think you're right.
Underrated. I remember the day in college when
great film.
We opted out of going to the party.
Great film.
With our neighbors, they came over to be like, "Hey, it's time to go to the party now," and we were like,
I think we're
sitting
Hardball.
Here with like a 30-pack of Bush Light and Hardballs
30 rack.
On.
Nice.
So I think we're probably just not going to go to that stupid party because this movie's starting to get really good right now.
You know the craziest thing? I was at work the other day and somebody told me about having a 30 rack going. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine.
Was it one of the prisoners?
Like, no, it was an employee.
Okay.
It was a female.
Same deal.
And we're like, oh, you got like a 30 rack? Like, what are you going with? And we both, you know, Natty Ice. Mm-hmm. You got the Beast. What are you doing? And Ice House. And they're like, no, Bud Light.
Mm.
I was like, what?
Mm.
What?
I know they made 30 packs of that
shit. The only reason you get a 30 is because you're going Natty Ice, Ice House.
Beer so gross, we don't even sell it in normal quantities.
Keystone?
Yeah, Keystone's a big one for sure.
Can't tell you how many 30s of Keystone I've gone through.
One.
But anyways.
Summer nights.
Talking about going through stuff. Let's get to some Grudge.
Okay, we're talking about Grudge. As I said, we know Grudge. Just ask me, I'll tell you. So we're doing our three count. Most grudge. Feuds that had the most grudge in 1980s pro wrestling. I feel like there was a lot of grudge going on back then. Much more than you get these days.
Correct.
It's maybe the golden age of grudge. So
correct.
It should be a good one to dig into.
All right.
Let's get into your number one.
I'm ready. I had to put the guy on the list somewhere. I didn't want to go for the obvious.
Guy Gardner versus Batman from that
you son
weird
of a bitch,
Justice
you got
League.
Me.
Series that was funny back then.
All of them. I'm talking about the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
You see, you might not know this about him, but he had a lot of feuds.
A lot of grudge in his life.
And he hated a lot of people.
That's why he had to drink so much, I bet.
But I'm going to focus on one that we're just getting into the very start of. And that is Flair versus Sting.
The Stinger.
Yeah.
That went for a long time, man.
That's why I'm qualifying it as grudge.
See, I think that's a quintessential part of grudge when there's so much grudge between these two guys that they just keep feuding through their whole career, like over and over and over
again.
That's
a big thing.
You can't get them away from each other.
And then grudge, a lot of people hear grudge, they process it in their brain and they think that it's
grudge is.
Well, they think it comes from a very important you wronged me type thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wronging. Flair just didn't like that Sting was the young up and comer.
That's right.
And
you got blonde hair and you howl too.
Yeah.
You say ow, I say woo.
You're the young new thing.
You can't be the reverse Ric Flair.
Correct.
There's no bizarro Ric Flair. This shit ain't gonna happen.
Their whole feud, it's over nothing. They just didn't care for each other.
At all.
Because one was the young guy and one was the old guy. And then it went all the way until they were both the old guy.
Mm.
And they didn't even remember why anymore. But they just knew they didn't like
each
other.
Final Nitro, Ric Flair couldn't even wrestle with a shirt off.
No.
But he knew that he had to wrestle Sting.
Correct.
Because for years and years and years, there's one man he's hated more than any other.
Stinger.
And that's old Real Estate Steve.
Yeah.
The man who's got his life together, invested his money wisely, is good with God. All the things that Ric Flair
is not. Correct.
These guys are just polar opposites. How could they not feud?
It's Superman and Bizarro Superman.
Where were you today?
What?
Pick up.
Damn.
So? Where were you?
Here, I guess, and I went out and picked up a paper.
I had to ask Kevin to leave his office and come and pick me up.
Well, what are friends for?
Yes, and he is a friend, Jerry. He's reliable. He's considerate. He's like your exact opposite.
So he's Bizarro Jerry.
Bizarro Jerry?
Yeah, like Bizarro Superman. Superman's exact opposite. Who lives in the backwards bizarro world? Up is down, down is up. He says hello when he leaves, goodbye when he arrives.
Shouldn't he say bad bye? Isn't that the opposite of goodbye?
No, it's still goodbye.
Does Sting live underwater?
I don't.
Is he black?
I don't really know how it completely works.
Close enough.
But yeah, yeah. So that's my pick.
That's pretty good because Ric Flair had a lot of opponents over the years.
And a lot of them.
I think he's named Sting as his main one himself in interviews. I've heard him say that. So he agrees with you. My number one involves a guy near and dear to both our hearts.
Yeah?
We talk about him a lot. We watch his wrestling a lot. And that's the living legend Larry Zbyszko.
Oh, Larry Z.
Larry Z.
Take me a little trip down Larry Land.
We talk a lot about Larry Zbyszko and how he got so much airplay on those 90s Nitros for seemingly no reason.
Correct.
He was just an old guy that nobody cared about.
Yeah.
Talk a lot about here in these late 80s shows.
He used
where
to get
just,
all those Larry chants, though.
I know, and he's just, he's these late 80s shows, he's just the most generic fucking dorky heel ever, calling people spudheads.
Jim Belushi.
Running through the generic heel fucking repertoire of moves, and there's nothing exciting about it, but he's still just, like, featured as a main guy, and don't know why, and... It's all because he's riding the coattails of his one big moment in pro wrestling where he created some of the earliest grudge this sport had ever seen.
Are you talking about his feud with another great wrestling announcer legend?
That's true. Famous WWF color commentator Bruno Sammartino. A lot of people don't know he also had a career as a pro wrestler before he was
bit.
A color commentator.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Vince, punch him in the face.
So one of the main things about grudge is it usually just doesn't pop off. It's not just like two guys get thrown together and then there's grudge. Grudge has to simmer. It's got to percolate.
Yeah.
It's a slow cook. You're making a mole here. You're not fucking scorching a creme brulee. And the reason the Bruno Sammartino, Larry Zbyszko feud built so much grudge and worked so well is because they took it step by step. It was very slowly paced, very simmering until it exploded into grudge, something they never do anymore. Starts off, Larry Zbyszko is a little protege to the almost retired Bruno Sammartino. They're fucking just like thick as thieves for a lot of years. Then Bruno starts doing like his announcer stuff and he doesn't want to wrestle anymore.
Right.
Zbyszko's like, you can't retire, man, because we got to wrestle each other. I got to prove that I can beat you. Bruno's like, nah, I don't want to wrestle you.
I don't
want to wrestle you.
That.
Goes for months. He's like, come on, you got to. Bruno's like, nah. Then finally Zbyszko's like, dude, if you don't wrestle me, I'm going to retire because there's nothing else I need to fucking prove other than I can beat you. Bruno's finally just like, I don't want to fight you, but fine. You got a promising career. You can't be retiring yet, so I'll get in the ring with you. So it starts off, they got a friendly match.
Yeah.
Just catch-as-catch-can wrestling.
Who's the better wrestler?
The better wrestler.
Let's give the fans a show.
Larry's throwing all the best fucking grapples at Bruno that he can, but Bruno's getting out of all of them.
And his karate moves.
And Bruno's just getting out of all of them. But then Bruno, he doesn't capitalize on getting out of these moves. He just lets him go, backs off. Larry's getting frustrated. He's getting more and more frustrated. Tension's fucking, you know, it's ramping up. Things are... He can cut this tension with a knife. He's getting more and more frustrated until finally he cheap shots him. Back then, this is before fucking heel turns and grudge matches and all this shit and like happened all the time.
Wow.
This is real special.
Wow.
He gives Bruno one knee to the ribs when he's trying to get back in the ring. And the crowd fucking loses it. And then instead of wrestling, he's stomping and he's punching him. The crowd fucking loses it.
Yeah.
Then he gets out of the ring, gets a fucking wooden chair. Hits Bruno over the head with it, and Bruno is bleeding everywhere.
Oh,
these people are going to fucking riot. This is a simple, just by-the-book heel turn. Like, these days, they fucking shit like this every... But back then, it was a big fucking deal. There was suddenly grudge, and this feud lasted for, like, 3 years. These guys just kept going at each other, and they just sold out fucking arena after arena after arena. Sold out Madison Square Garden because he turned on Bruno. Nobody had ever fucking bloodied up Bruno and just like got personal with Bruno like this.
Are we talking about Bruce Willis?
Talking about DeBruin.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay,
Seagram, the wine cooler.
Ooh,
he had a really cool career in the 80s.
He had the best.
So either way, this starts off, friends, then friendly competition, then tension, and then brawling, and then eventually it leads up to a big bloody cage match blow-off at Shea Stadium in front of like thousands and thousands of people, and that's what every good grudge feud in wrestling should fucking do. It should be step-by-step. It should lead to a big cage match, and it should get blown off, and they packed so many people into those houses, they made so much money that 20 fucking years later, everybody's treating Larry Zbyszko like he's a big thing, even though really he was just a fucking spudhead who happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Correct.
And just keeping riding that coattails of that hot angle. But it's because he got some legit grudge. That's how he was able to be a presence in wrestling for so long. All you need to do, just one good time in your career, feel the grudge.
Find the right dance partner.
Let the grudge get inside of you. Let the grudge take you over.
Transform you. Elevate you to the next level. Mm.
Larry Z. He punched his ticket.
We talked last week about how the DDT got bastardized.
DDT.
By current wrestling.
It sure did.
And I would like to give a shout out real quick. You and I have expressed many a time in private conversation.
Shh. This stuff's not supposed to get out.
R.I.P.D. Bastardization of the cage match.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like you just said, like, grudge?
It's supposed to blow off a bloody feud. It's not supposed to be like an obstacle course you got to climb over and shit.
WWEF, whatever, kind of saved grace by being like, well, now we got the Hell in a Cell.
Sure.
Like, you got now real grudge.
Something's really going to the Hell in a Cell. It goes into Hell in a Cell. And, but then they ruined that.
They're like, well, just make a pay-per-view where everybody wrestles
in one. It doesn't even matter if you're in a grudge feud or not. Just you'll still wrestle in a Hell in a Cell.
So
now they got nothing.
Wrestling's
if two guys are like, since so much grudge going on that they're going to murder each other, what match do you put them in now? Is there even one?
No.
Hell in a Cell was the last gasp of the grudge match in WWE.
My number two?
Modern Wrestling's garbage.
It is. Modern Family, delightful show.
Oh, still good, even still after good. All these seasons. After strong as the first.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd does good work. Look at his run on Frasier. Come on.
Different Christopher Lloyd, huh?
No, same guy.
Oh, that's the same guy? He's in charge of all those shows?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You didn't know Doc Brown was responsible for both of those shows?
Doc Brown was had his fingers in some Modern Family pies. Oh, hell yeah.
I was frozen today!
So, number two, Grudge. We covered the big blow-up and a little bit of the lead-up to it before, but it is, might be, if you're talking biggest feuds in 80s wrestling.
And we are.
This has got to be
what's happening
in your top three, top five. This should be on everybody's list. And I'm talking two guys that didn't like each other because one had a title and one didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one wanted the title and did a little back and forth that way. And then it expanded.
Boy meets title.
And forcing yourself on the other one's woman and still calling yourself a good guy.
Here. Yeah.
I'm talking about the ballad of Tully Blanchard and Magnum T.A.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great grudge in this. They had weeks of like pull-aparts and run-ins. Mm-hmm. Just those guys just not being able to physically stand the other in the room.
Even David Crockett stopped chuckling for a couple of minutes and got in a scrum.
Yeah. We all know it came to that big Gathering of the Juggalos match.
I quit cage match.
Yep. Where not just are you in a cage to settle shit once and for all, you gotta fucking quit.
Wait, yeah, what's the
like
rules
a
of
loser.
That? The first person who climbs over the top and runs away
is the winner?
Is that how the match was
settled?
No,
you're just stuck in a cage hoping not to be the one that says,
oh, okay.
No more, I can't do it
You
no
hear
more.
That, Vince? You hear what a fucking cage match is supposed to be?
Yeah, bloody the hell out of each other. No place else to go until one of you physically quits
because
you got nothing left in you.
Mm-hmm.
And much in the same way with Bruno Sammartino on the wooden chair, we all remember Tully driving that piece of chair into Magnum driving that piece of chair into Tully's forehead.
Stab him with the broken pieces
he
of wood.
He still never quit though. He just yelled, "Aah!"
Either way, attempted rapes, attempted mutilations.
Yeah.
There's only one like way that the shit's going to be going down, and that's if there's some serious grudge in the air.
You want to know how I know it was grudge, Nate?
Because that motorcycle accident Magnum got in was perpetrated by Tully.
Well,
he told me as a secret years ago.
Yeah,
I was never supposed to tell anybody.
But that's a little bit of it is Tully kills himself, ruins his career in a motorcycle accident. Or not Tully. I keep saying Tully.
Magnum
does.
Yeah.
And then Tully still hates the son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Still doesn't like him. Not like, oh, it's too bad what happened to you. Like, you had such a promising career.
I thought it was funny when that guy fucking got hurt so bad.
He's like, I'm glad you got hurt. I'm glad you can't wrestle anymore. And keep your fucking nose out of horseman business.
Mm-hmm.
It's Grudge, baby.
Keep your hands off baby doll.
It's Grudge, baby.
She's not into you, man.
No.
My number two is just another one that lasted for a good, like, 4 years. Shit popped off, and then there was just popped off so hot that they just couldn't stop fighting each other. They just had to fight and fight and fight and fight. They'd do it in cage matches. They'd do it in country whooping strap matches. They'd do it in every match under the sun. There was always blood. There was always heat. There was always hatred. We're talking about...
I'm assuming these people, like, grew up in the same town together?
Well, a couple of them did. A couple of them grew up in the same house, quite frankly. I'm talking about the Von Erich brothers against the Fabulous Freebirds.
Oh, the boys from Bad Streets?
So we're talking Dallas Wrestling. The Von Erichs, you know, these pinup fucking idols. They're hot ass shit in this town, in this territory. They're
like the Hart family.
Crossed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
If Bret Hart wasn't so insufferable.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And also, like, they didn't have that, like, sort of dead-eyed Canadian thing going on. They had more of, like, that Matthew McConaughey Texas thing going on,
like,
a little bit.
Like, Bret Hart trying to be a good guy? So bad. Just...
So these guys are hot shit in their territory. The women love them, but it wasn't until they found the perfect, like, villains to feud with that the actual territory itself became hot shit.
Right.
And like all good grudge starts, this grudge starts in a cage, and it starts with Ric Flair. He's at the center of all of it.
That old so-and-so.
You got Michael Hayes, Terry Gordy. They come into the fucking territory. They're friends with the Von Erichs. They're hanging out.
Absolutely.
They're bros, man. And Flair's bring that NWA title around, and he's wrestling David, and he's wrestling Kerry. Kerry gets real close to beating him a few times, and then it comes up to a big cage match. Flair versus Kerry.
Yeah.
Flair's stuck in the cage. Not only is he stuck in the cage... Fans get to vote on who they want to be the referee, and they vote Michael Hayes, Kerry's fucking buddy.
Yeah.
And then Terry Gordy,
safe bet.
Bam Bam, he's put outside as the enforcer to make sure Flair has to wrestle this match fair and square.
Things are looking good here. I like it.
But you know, some things fucking happen in the match. Flair and Hayes get in each other's faces. They're poking at each other a little bit.
That's not going to be good for Flair.
Fucking Hayes has to drop Flair. He gets mad about it. And then he's like, fuck this guy. Kerry, I just dropped him. Get on top of him and pin him, man. Yeah. Let's take his NWA title. And Kerry's like a fucking dipshit, fucking Texas inbred moron. He's like, nah, man, nah, I can't do it this way. I can't win the title this way.
That's never, I don't
know. Nah, man.
Yeah, it's just like, that's
not
going to
do it. So then they're in each other's faces. They're kind of pushing back. They're like, what are you talking about? And then, like, fucking Bam Bam's like, let's just get out of here, Hayes. Come on, let's leave.
That's cool. I like that.
Fucking,
I respect that.
Hayes is like, great. Fucking enforcer outside. Bam Bam, he opens up the cage door. Hayes is leaving. And this is when Flair, that old rascal, that old shitster, he's like, I got some grudge in my life. I'm going to start some new grudge. He goes and he knees Kerry from behind, and then Kerry goes flying into Hayes from behind and bumps into him. Hayes turns around. He thinks Kerry just took a shot at him.
Yeah.
They're scrambling. They're trying to pull him back in, and that's when it happens, man. Fucking Kerry Von Erich's reaching outside of that cage trying to pull Hayes in. Terry Bam Bam Gordy's had enough. He slams the fucking cage door on Kerry's head.
Yeah.
Makes that guy retarded. His right foot falls off in the process. That's how hard he hit him.
Yeah.
And then Ric Flair. Easy win, man. Kerry blows his big shot at the title. Suddenly you got Buddy Roberts in there. You got three Von Erichs. You got three Freebirds. And they hate each other so bad. All over a misunderstanding involving Ric Flair in a cage match. Like I said, before you know it, they're bleeding all over Texas.
All over Texas.
And then by like the end of a couple of years of this, World Class is the biggest territory in the country, out of nowhere. Higher ratings than the WWF, on top of the world. Hot action because of grudge.
They measured it by volume.
Mm-hmm.
The Von Erich Freebirds feud.
Yeah.
Bloodier than the Alamo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of grudge at the Alamo.
Yeah.
So much so that you're not allowed to forget it.
Dave Crockett, not the WCW announcer, but the historical figure.
Wait, that wasn't the same guy?
It could have been.
Yeah, see, I was confused this whole time.
Well, I don't think it is, because the one in the Alamo hates Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard old Dave Crockett say anything bad about Ricky Santana.
He's very supportive of Ricky Santana, yeah, as it turns
out. So I think it might be different guys.
And Raging Bull Manny Fernandez. Never had a bad thing to say about him.
Speaking of, I've got a number one.
Okay.
Sometimes
there's a man.
Grudge,
mm-hmm,
comes from real life.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in your story a couple guys that were buddies, Mr. Gordy and Mr. P.S. Hayes.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
know, nothing could tear them apart, you know? You choose sides fucking at some point.
Georgia-born, Georgia-bred, except for the fact that Hayes, yeah, is from Philly.
It doesn't matter. Like, oh, we're friends with you guys, Von Erichs, but like at the end of the day, like, this is my good friend, you know?
Sometimes like love turns to hate.
I've known you longer than I've known Maria, so like if I'm going to turn on somebody in a cage match, probably going to be her.
She's going to get left bloody.
I'm going to have to choose you, mm-hmm, you know? We're old friends. And sometimes your old friend gets killed in Puerto Rico in real life.
That is something that's happened to me 3 or 4 times now. Yeah. I keep thinking like, oh, this is the last time this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then nope.
Sometimes he gets killed by a guy called Invader Number One.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You cheapen your friend's death by letting it play out in the squared circle.
Mm.
And you get cha-ching, your revenge.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Not on Invader Number One,
yeah,
but Invader Number Three.
Mm.
Why?
I don't know why.
His name's Invader.
Okay.
And they're all friends.
It's all the same.
They're all buddies there.
It's a setup. They, yeah, were all invaders.
So Manny Fernandez loses his good buddy, the Bruiser Brody,
mm-hmm,
in Puerto Rico to Invader Number One,
carny,
as he gets stabbed to death. And then the jury's like, ah, no, he didn't do it. But that's because Invader Number Two and Invader Number Three, they what do you call that? Where you make the witnesses be like, hey, you didn't see nothing.
They were intimidating the
witnesses.
Yeah,
there you go. Thank you. Yeah, I got a heat stroke and I've been drinking. They intimidated the witnesses. So,
gotta get you to the hospital.
Manny Fernandez, he had to.
Crazy eye.
He had to get that vengeance the only way he could.
Raging Bull.
Go down to Puerto Rico, settle it in the ring. And he comes off that top rope, gives that knee to Invader Number Three,
mm-hmm,
ruptures his stomach cavity, Nate.
Yeah, I don't even know what that looks
he
like.
He pukes blood all over the ring.
No wonder there are so many fucking wrestling fans in Puerto Rico. This shit's awesome.
So you know what he did after he did that?
I don't know.
Comes off the top rope 2 more times with knees.
Guy just kept puking blood.
Invader Number Three spitting blood, puking blood everywhere. He's rolling around.
You want a little coffee or what? Huh?
Oh, God. Huh? I think I'll be good.
Need some more?
Huh? Try not to get it on the rust of my table here.
I won't be able to do that.
Can you do that? Huh? You gonna get sick?
That's a possibility.
Huh? Oh. Huh? Oh my God, he's gonna puke!
That's it. Oh man.
Finally the ref's like, this isn't a wrestling match anymore. This is an attempted murder scene.
Because
the grudge here is just too extreme.
Maybe the only wrestling grudge match that involved a real murder.
Yeah.
That's a lot of grudge.
That's a lot of grudge. Like, if somebody killed you, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd get out there, I'd fucking, Steven Seagal it and hit, mm-hmm, the streets, mm-hmm, and, you know, figure out
a way to cash in on it.
Yeah, hell yeah. And get a little, yeah, line my pockets in the meantime.
This is all news to me. I didn't know that Manny Fernandez had a post-Bruiser Brody's death cash-in angle.
Ooh,
love this.
Yeah.
This is some of the most carny shit, yeah, I've heard in my
life. I'm going to show you the video.
They've got some video of that blood puking?
Oh, it's explicit, pal.
I love things that are explicit.
So to this day, people don't understand if it was a work, if it was real,
mm-hmm,
how it all came to be. But the closest thing we know is Invader Number Three, before the match, agreed to drink pig's blood and vodka so that when he took a hard shot to the gut, he could just puke on command.
That's dedication to the craft right there.
But if you ask Manny Fernandez,
mm-hmm,
how that blood came to be,
mm-hmm,
he'll tell you it was real. He brought a knee straight into that man's gut off the top rope in an attempt to murder
him. The true story was that it was Manny Fernandez that drank all the pig's blood and vodka before the match.
It had nothing to do with the puking.
Just so he could psych himself up to drop those stiff knees, yeah. Brother. Whew. My number one is sort of just like a pick that's a little bit overarching. It's just encompasses the 1980s, sums it all up, because it basically lasted for the entire 1980s, and it's what the entire 1980s was built on, and that's just Dusty versus the Horsemen, because these guys, you talk about North and South, you talk about the world of the NWA and the world of the WWF. WWF is constantly churning new feuds. Hogan versus this guy. Hogan versus this guy. Who's Hogan going to fight next? Who's going? We got to find new people, new monsters for Hogan to slay. The entire 1980s was just Dusty versus the Horsemen, because there was so much grudge there that you could just do it over
and over, shape or form.
When you start from basically Ole turning on Dusty in 1980, Georgia Championship Wrestling, cage match with the Assassins, and he starts feuding then, him and the Andersons going at it, Anderson's palling around with Ric Flair, to then Flair and Dusty feuding over the world title, and you go into a big period where Dusty's feuding with Tully over the TV title, and it wasn't just Dusty versus the Horsemen, it was always, any of the other good guys were always painted as being Dusty's friends who were helping him fight the Horsemen. Dusty and Magnum, Dusty and Barry,
Dusty and Manny Fernandez,
Dusty and Manny, fucking Dusty, you put him in with the Road Warriors. If you wanted to be a good guy in Southern wrestling, you had to get involved in the Dusty versus the Horsemen feud. You had parking lot jumpings, you had double crosses, you had people breaking each other's legs, leading to steel reinforced cowboy boots. They just fought and fought and fought fought for the entire decade. Every match was just a bloody mess. Flair and Dusty, neither one of them's ever stepped foot in front of a ring without just bleeding all over the entire goddamn building.
Profusely.
And then you throw in a whole nother level that behind the scenes the whole time, Dusty and Flair are battling to be like for Dusty's booker for a while, and they let Flair be booker for a while. They're wondering who's making more money. Dusty wants to make the most money. Flair wants to make the most money. Who's got the most fucking pull? Who's got the most stroke?
That's the real grudge.
They're feuding for real backstage. You got real heat, real grudge. They're feuding out there, like in the storylines, in the ring. They're cutting each other to ribbons. They're bleeding everywhere and just screaming and hollering, creating some of the most classic promos that the sport's ever seen. And literally an entire decade of business, just an entire half of the country built around Dusty versus the Horsemen.
Yeah.
1980s NWA is essentially became an entire grudge match, just territory. Their whole product was just grudge.
They built an empire,
top to bottom,
over how much those people hated each other.
Vince was all about the spectacle. Down there, the Crockett's, they were all about the grudge. Dusty and Flair, the guys made $1 million.
Absolutely. That's why Dusty can buy or sell or trade you or whatever.
And he'll let you know.
Well, I tell you what, this has been fun.
So much fun.
But I think it's time to go. We got a Nitro party to plan for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Or a Memorial Day party. I don't know which.
People are going to be real sad when they show up and we're making everybody watch old episodes of Nitro.
Bam.
I thought we'd do some barbecuing. I don't know. Have some beers. I don't know.
Maybe these are the cruiserweights.
Throw some horseshoes outside or something. The weather's real nice.
You know, this guy's called Juventud Guerrero. You're going to love him.
Jerry Flynn can beat you in many ways. He's a trained martial artist.
All the ways. They're going to get upset when we get to the Glacier and
more. How many more weeks until Glacier debuts? We've been watching this all day long.
So join us next week when we get into how great WCW Nitro is.
Aren't we on hiatus next week?
Oh, yeah. That's
going on vacation.
Yeah, we're
going
to go on vacation.
We'll be
just
back
watch
in a couple weeks.
Weeks worth of Nitro and Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back with 80s wrestling.
Hopefully refreshed.
On Baby Oil and Blow.